Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So, both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show, and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options, and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us, and it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout.
Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is Tom, or Robots, and we are talking with our patrons tonight about spooky things. We had a whole bunch of different topic ideas, and so many of them were revolving around spooky things, because it's the end of October, and currently is the 30th as we are recording this right now. Tomorrow is Halloween, and Fallout is pretty well known for its spooky content. So we're going to be discussing some of our favorite spooky stuff. It might be characters, it may be locations, it may be quest lines, it may be that time that, you know, the thing, the ghoul ran up on you and you had to go change your pants. Yeah, I don't know. It could be all sorts of stuff. But here we are with everybody. Welcome back to the show, everyone. We've got Void and Pumpkin and Wasteland Ronin and Lil Green and Nova and Saint Giub and Jordinary Guy and Dusty Ray. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm so glad that you are here. Who would like to start us off? Who wants to kick off the conversation? Pumpkin's both hands went up in the air while he eats his chicken sandwich from, I think that's McDonald's. Is that what that is?
Pumpkin. Yeah, it's McDonald's.
How's it going? Welcome back.
I'm going to throw us off the deep end, and I'm going to talk about something specific. There, it's going to be the Black Halls and a couple of names that are mentioned in that same thing. So the Black Halls are from the Point Lookout DLC from Fallout 3, and they're the ones that are connected to the Dunwich building.
Mm-hmm.
So everything about it is all Lovecraftian and cosmic horror. But the three names that I'm talking about today is Ugg-Quiltoth, which is supposed to be like their version of Yogg-Sothoth, which is a Lovecraftian deity. Al-Hazred, which is one of the writers of some books that are in Lovecraft that is mentioned in Fallout. And it could be the writer of the Krivbekni.
It's like your foreign,
is the book that, yeah, I'm really struggling today.
Yeah, it's fine.
Which is the book that you actually have to take and touch the obelisk to destroy and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And Gyeth, which is still completely unknown.
Just
a weird name.
It's not brought up. They people could put Alhazred and Gieth together because the quote is Alhazred, Gieth, Gieth, but their Alhazred is a different character to this Gieth thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason I chose this for my creepy, spooky thing is these are cosmic horrors. One of them's a writer of a book that's from, like, that is actually mentioned in Lovecraftian book, in literature.
Right.
Whereas Ugg-Qul-Toth is based on that and all that. I think Lovecraft is creepy, but it's also really fascinating to me.
It's like psychological horror. It's got this like yeah. the gods from beyond drive people insane, and therefore that's part of why things are so scary. And also just this idea that there's something else out there in the void beyond our understanding, and we are insignificant. Like, there's that kind of thing. And also, you bring this up right on the heels of interviewing Nate Perkypile again, who is the guy who implanted all of this stuff in Fallout, or at least in Fallout 3 and Fallout 4. So this all came from his mind, and clearly you can see the stuff he was drawing from when it came to this stuff. So when tell us a little bit more about your own experience with this, Pumpkin. Did you notice this initially and you were like, oh, this is a Lovecraftian kind of thing?
So, no, when my first time playing through Fallout 3, I think I was 14, and I had heard just how creepy the Dunwich building was. And I knew that Dunwich was like Lovecraft, but I had never listened to the book. Mm-hmm. Never any of that. And I remember being utterly terrified to be in that, to enter that building. But that, like, the when I remember first, you know, finding all the holotapes, listening to the story, and just finding a ghoul that was shooting at me, and I was like, what's this about?
Right.
And then when finally doing a deeper dive on the story made me like, I appreciate how deep that whole thing went. Even though I never got full answers, I still appreciate it.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of the intent, is just to have lots of things that make you go, wait a minute.
And
what?
I would love more Dunwich.
Yeah, yeah, I would too. I love that stuff. And I also like that it only goes so deep. Like, there aren't really answers. And in talking to Nate, like, Nate doesn't even have the answers. It was more of just, here's some weird stuff. I'm just going to put this in here, and people might notice it and they might talk about it, but it's not like there's anything it's not like he was drawing from some mythology that somebody had like crafted for this stuff. It was just like, in his mind, he's going, okay, this is Lovecraftian. It's weird. I'm going to make some references across from one thing to another, and we're going to just leave a lot of mystery. And who knows? I mean, maybe future developers of future Fallout games will actually expand that and build it out even more. I mean, there's a lot of just kind of empty possibility, you know, just like openness to this. So,
yep.
Yeah.
The whole thing is like, there's a lot of Fallout takes a lot from Lovecraft, and I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's open this up. Anybody else want to chime in about these like Lovecraftian horrors, like this kind of the Dunwich buildings and like that, all that stuff? Anybody else have any thoughts on this or experiences with this in the game? Do you find it terrifying, or do you find it just kind of curious and interesting?
I mean, I personally find it nice that they're pulling in like different types of like topics from our world and putting it into the Fallout world. It just makes it more immersive and like keeps you like on your toes, looking out for like the minor details of things that we might know in the real world. It's like, oh, they put this in here. I wonder if what else there is. So we're always looking out for something else, something new, and we're always discovering more and more in the games.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
Yeah. And even games like Fallout 76 still reference some of these things that haven't been referenced in a while from the older games that just kind of come back up again. Saint, you wanted to chime in. What do you think?
I'm kind of with Pumpkin, where I first played the game when I was 15, I think, and that I didn't know what Lovecraft was, and I had real no concept of like, you know, the cosmic horror genre or any of that kind of stuff. So it was all very new to me, this idea of that. And there is something inherently terrifying about just things that we perceive as gods, but they're just these beings who they just see us as insignificant. They're not good or evil in their own minds, in their own right. which is a horrifying thought that, you know, we could be swept away by some being who doesn't think anything more than maybe we'd step on an ant or something like that. And yeah. Also just the setting overall, like you hear those southern accents and you're in this kind of swampy kind of wilderness where I don't know about you guys, if you've ever been to any place, I hate using the word desolate because I don't want to sound discriminatory or anything like that. But when you go to some places in the south or the Midwest where you used to live and you get these very small, isolated places, it has this haunting atmosphere. Nothing else could be going on but just how desolate it is. Mm-hmm. And that still invokes that, a place where everybody knows everybody, everyone knows each other's business. And when someone new comes around, it's like, oh, you're the outsider who's come in. Right. I've experienced that going to places.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You kind of in any of those situations, you feel like it's off-putting because you're basically the outsider. Right. Void's raising his hand, too. What did you want to add in?
If I remember to unmute to what he was saying about like. Oh, well, now I don't remember.
It just disappeared.
I'm so sorry.
I think an elder god has wiped your mind. I think that's what happened here.
It happens often.
It happens often.
There's like 80 of them, and they all go by the same initials called HD, so.
All right.
You're not the droids you're looking for.
Right.
Before I mute myself, before I continue, to anybody listening, go listen to the Dunwich Horror. It will make you appreciate the quest way more. Don't do the research on Lovecraft himself. He was a horrible human being, but some of the writing that he did was pretty decent. And I heavily recommend the Dunwich Horror.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to understand that he was somebody from his time period with some very specific viewpoints. And there's definitely some racist stuff and disturbing things, but also just like real world racism and stuff like that going on. But, you know, authors from their time period, that's a thing. All right, Pumpkin, this was a good one to start us off with because that stuff is absolutely creepy and weird. Let's move on. Who would like to go next? Oh, Void, did you remember what you were going to say? I think I saw your hand up. Yeah.
Jeb said something about like stepping on ants and something. So Cthulhu was never mentioned in this conversation, but imagine that you get surrounded by ants or you stumble upon a circle of ants just chanting your name. And worshiping you. What are you gonna do? Are you just not gonna do what they want?
Probably. Probably.
They're tiny, small beings worshiping you for no reason in particular.
Yeah, I don't think Cthulhu cares about who worships Cthulhu. I think that Cthulhu does Cthulhu's thing no matter what, and that's just kind of a side effect. But this could be a whole other episode about Lovecraftian stuff for sure. Saint, did you have something else you want to chime in, or you wanted to go next?
I was asking to go next, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
So for me, I'm also going to Fallout 3. I'm actually going to talk about Vault 112, which was the simulation with Dr. Braun, mm-hmm. where he traps your father inside of there. It's funny because at the time when I played that, again, I was 15 years old. I didn't think too much of it. But as years have gone by, and I've kind of really thought about it more, it's a terrifying concept to me, that idea of just being eternally trapped in this place with, again, just some sadistic doctor who, again, the world might see, oh, this is a genius. This is somebody who is to be revered for their intellect, when in reality, they're just your garden variety sadist who wants nothing more than to torture people for all eternity.
Sure. Yeah. And, yeah. Just because somebody's intelligent doesn't necessarily mean they're moral. Right? Like, you can be highly intelligent and highly immoral. You can be highly unintelligent, but highly moral. Like, those two things don't have to coincide.
There's many instances in history where they don't at all. And sometimes they can't even tell the difference. Like, no, why wouldn't I do this?
Right.
But then for me, it goes on another level, because to me, there's really no good way to end that either. And the quest, because you can either escape with your father and then the people are still trapped in there. But to me, there's also something horrible about, okay, we free everybody else who's in there, but then he himself is trapped in there. Even though this is a terrible person who should, you shouldn't feel bad. I still feel bad about the idea of like leaving somebody eternally stuck in there. Like, oh, now he's by himself. There's no good way to reconcile that problem.
Right. Yeah. When you think about this, even just a little bit, it dawns on me that these are just versions of hell, right?
Yep.
Like, one, you're trapped in a location, you can't leave. Two, in the regular version of this, Dr. Stanislaus Braun is kind of like Satan. He's in control of everything you experience. He's tormenting you to his own delight. You know, like, it's that kind of classical, you know, hell kind of thing, right? Where you don't have anything you can do and you're being punished or tortured or whatever. And the world around you can change. In fact, I think that's part of that whole scenario, is that he's been through multiple versions of this simulation. And every time he changes it up in different ways, but yet still torments everybody who's stuck in the simulation. But then, to your point of, like, once you pull everybody else out, if you lock him in there, then now he's alone. And so he's trapped by himself alone forever, or as long as he is able to survive. And that's a different version of hell. This thing, like, this idea that, like, we are in our nature, we need to interact with other people. Like, we are social creatures by nature, and to pull that away is kind of a flip side of that. Like, it's not active torture, but it definitely would rot your mind in a completely different way.
Absolutely. I could not have said it better myself.
So, yeah, that is, I remember coming across that quest in Fallout 3, and it's always fun to think back to the first time you play through these games, right? And this, the surprise of, like, oh, this is a thing. This is a thing in this game. Like, I don't remember games having kind of done that kind of thing before. This idea of, like, oh, you're in a simulation inside the game. How is this going to work out? And then having to just kind of figure it out and not knowing what the boundaries of that world were and what you were actually supposed to do, and just kind of fumbling around until you figured it out was quite the experience.
And just as, like, a one last added part of it, also, like I said, having that revelation of thinking as a 15-year-old, I didn't think much of it. I thought, oh, yeah, I did a good thing. I put the bad guy in his place and, you know, I saved everybody else. Thinking back to myself, I'm like, oh, I thought that was a good idea at the time. I didn't think, like, oh, this guy is also being tortured now. So it kind of, like, was this own dawning of my own thought of myself. I'm like, oh, well, how could I think that that was a good idea?
Right. I've become the torturer. Exactly. I am now the villain of his story. Yeah, yeah, that's dark. That's dark. All right, let's open this up. Jordinary Guy, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I remember my first playthrough of that mission and sort of enjoying it along the way of doing what Braun wanted to do and murdering these people, thinking, oh, it's only a simulation. It's all good. It's all good. And then the horrifying realization of leaving that simulation and going, oh, my God, what have I done?
Yeah.
And sort of realizing that you've been the plaything of this psychopath who's just using you as a tool to torture everybody. I think I sat there for a few minutes. I was about 12 or 13 at the time, sitting there going, oh my God, what have I done?
Right. Yeah. I feel like this is one of those, like, in philosophy, you have these, like, moral tests, like they call them memes now, but the idea of, like, you know, the trolley car going down the way, and if there's a split in the road and you can kill one person or you kill five people, and would you pull the lever, that kind of thing, right? And this is kind of a very similar sort of situation that so many of us came across at a young point in our lives, going, like, do you do the thing to these people? Are they real? Are they not real? Does it matter? Okay, they are real. Okay, this guy's real, but now do I lock him in there? Is that, like, is revenge justified in this situation, or is that still bad? Like, this becomes a moral quandary on a few different levels, which makes it so interesting and enjoyable.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, like, I was, like, looking into this, my brain was first thinking, like, it gives me I have no mouth but I'm a scream vibe, but then my brain thought more, it's like a mix of I have no mouth and I'm a scream with a sadistic version of Wizard of Oz.
okay,
the wizard specifically.
Yeah, so, yeah, okay, so, like, if the wizard was a much more terrible person,
yeah,
in that scenario. All right. Anybody else on this simulation, Vault 112? Any other thoughts on this one? Nope. All right. Well, I guess it's time to move on. Saint, you have any last thoughts on this?
No, I think that's really it. I mean, the German accent definitely doesn't help either.
Yeah. Yeah. It gives you Nazi scientist vibes, or Dr. Frankenstein vibes, like somewhere in there.
So, you know, some classic horror movie vibe, but then also I also think of just, you know, just any kind of clinical, it just, you know, some kind of doctor just gone wrong, some part, you know, like that cold kind of unthinking and or unfeeling scientific pursuit. Like, oh yeah, no, this is all in the pursuit of science. It's all he's very routine about it. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
Clinical.
Yeah, it's very clinical. Thank you. He's very matter of fact about everything that's going on.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Yeah. All right. Well, that's another good one. Who would like to go next? I see Jordinary Guy's hand. Go for it. What are you thinking?
So for me, it's the scariest thing I can think of, and creepiest, is the Y-17 trauma harness from the Big Empty in New Vegas.
Okay.
So just the idea, I remember my original coming across them was just the hearing of the bones clanking inside this automated suit of armor that just has these injured people in them that are trapped almost, well, permanently. And then going through then the lore of finding that these suits have just become completely automated.
Yeah.
And yeah, just the idea of being somebody stuck in that suit, injured, not being able to move, and just being forced to keep fighting and fighting and fighting or doing your work. And it's
right until you're dead. Creepy. And then your corpse just keeps going after that. And so it's kind of like a sci-fi version of necromancy.
Yes.
Right. Like in Skyrim, you would have casted a spell that would have taken somebody's control away from their body or something, and then you would have used them to fight on a battlefield, and they would have died, and then you would have just made them keep fighting through, you know, harnessing magic that moves their bones or something, right? But in Fallout, it turns into something like this. It's like a, you know, like a suit you put on somebody, and then they just, they can't escape it even in death. That is pretty terrifying. I think there are themes here. This idea of like taking away the ability for you to make your own decisions, right? Like in the vault, in the simulation vault, in this, heck, even if your mind goes crazy due to the revelations of ancient gods, there's something about losing yourself and somebody else taking control of that. We've kind of got this theme going.
Yeah, I think that's an overarching theme in all of Fallout as well, is the taking away and the manipulation of people's free wills and what those people's actions are when that is taken away from them.
Right, right. Yeah, that or the extreme ends they go to when they feel like they're making their own decisions and yet may not be making them for the right decisions, like for the right reasons. So yeah, I think this is another really terrifying thing. This is not something I've talked about much on the show, I don't think. Let's open this up. Anybody else have any thoughts on these trauma suits? I see Pumpkin has some thoughts.
I think Ronan was unmuted before me.
Ronan, go for it. Sorry, I didn't notice.
Yeah, this just made me think of, like, I don't know much about it, but 40K, the tabletop, and like the lore, there's some type of robot thing where you're basically in a sarcophagus and you only get woken up to like go to war and then you get put back to sleep.
The Titans.
Yeah, the Titans, that's what they're called.
Ugh, yeah.
I'm like, that'd be pretty sick. Just, hey, we need you to wake up so you can go to war.
Right.
I'm just going to quickly interject. This is worse than the Titans, though. Because you're actually, like, looked at as, like, a minor god. If I'm not very up on 40K, but, like, you're looked as, like, a minor god in 40K if you're in a Titan suit. And you're taken care of and put to sleep when, like, because, like, it's agony for, like, in one of those suits. This is different because you're dying in this suit and nothing happens. Like, you're not being saved. You just slowly die and then your body just keeps on going. Mm-hmm. That's my little bit of this. Like, this is terrifying.
Yeah. As somebody who watched Doctor Who when I was little, I remember this episode specifically where there was the skeletons in the spacesuits, and this is a reference to that, and that episode terrified me when I was younger, so I totally know how scary this is.
The Vashta Narada. Yeah, who turned out the lights?
Yeah, I'm not much of a Doctor Who guy. It's a very old show at this point, but I remember, what was that, 10, 15 years ago when it kind of came back around and everyone was talking about it, and I never did actually watch it. So I didn't realize that was a reference. That's cool to find out. Saint, you have something to add?
I might be remembering this wrong, but I think you find documentation throughout that DLC, like people talking about that trauma harness, like, oh, look how much we've learned about it. You know, like, oh, we're making such great progress for developing, not realize, like, again, their casual dismissal. They've created something just absolutely horrible. But mm-hmm. they, in their eyes, it's like, no, this is great. No, it's doing a thing. Like, why would we stop just because people are suffering?
Well, it had great intentions, bad results.
Yeah. So busy figuring out if they can that they didn't ask if they should, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, because if you're looking into the story behind it, it was supposed to help the war effort, take casualties from the front line, because it takes like two or three soldiers to bring a casualty, you know, someone who's mortally injured to the aid station or to a medical evacuation. So it's supposed to be one soldier can do his own thing while everyone else fights on. And so they're like, yeah, this is really great, but they couldn't figure out the parameters to when it automates itself to bring it back to the aid station. And then whenever, you know, the Great War happened, they didn't have an actual home base set. And so the Toronto Hearts kind of just meandered around until Death and Decay happened.
Yeah. It's like when you don't troubleshoot your software enough and you end up with unintentional bugs in the system. But there just happens to be a human being now also stuck in it. So,
yeah, well, it was still developmental, though, so you can't really judge them. They didn't actually release it.
Right. Well, I mean, some people ended up in them anyway. So,
yeah, it was trials. Don't worry about it.
Sure. All right. Well, this has been another fun one. Jordinary Guy, any other thoughts before we move on?
No, nothing that comes to mind. No.
Yeah. Well, very, very horrifying. Thank you for this suggestion. Who would like to go next? I saw Lil Green's hand and then I saw Ronan. Why don't we do Lil Green and then Ronan? Cause I saw the hand first.
Sounds good.
All right. So mine's going back to Fallout 3 as well. I forgot when I started this playing when I was in high school, and when I started playing, I knew nothing of Fallout. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And so mine was, I wandered into Deathclaw Sanctuary not knowing what a Deathclaw was and getting swarmed by them. That terrified me, but also like solidifies like, no, this game is something different. Mm-hmm. So because like I'm just like, oh, Deathclaw Sanctuary, it's a sanctuary, how bad can it be?
That's not what sanctuary is supposed to mean. It's not supposed to mean horror.
So but yeah, that was like, because and also that was the first time I saw a Deathclaw, because I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking like, what the hell is a Deathclaw? I'm just like, all right, it can't be that bad, it's a sanctuary, what, how bad can it? No, it was bad. It was bad. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was so underleveled. I did not belong there. That scared me.
You know, so there's something about Deathclaws, and maybe you mentioned being underleveled. I think maybe that's part of it. Like, my curiosity here for all of you is, obviously, we've all played games before we played Fallout. We've played games where you fight big monsters or whatever. Like, this is a very common trope in video games. But there's something about the way, especially in those, like those early Bethesda or Obsidian, you know, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, there's something about the way that those monsters were presented. And it probably even goes all the way back to Fallout 1, where they really were terrifying. And maybe that's because the world felt like the way the games kind of pulled you into the world made you feel very personally invested in your character. But you also very clearly understood your limitations based on what level you were at and what things you've already fought. Like, maybe there's something like that going on. What do you think, Lil?
I do feel like the earlier games, at least New Vegas and like 3, the Deathclaws certainly felt a lot more terrifying, but like everything in the game in general brought you in more. So I think the one thing I could say about like four, like being like you actually have like a player character, like it pulls you out a little bit, so you're not fully immersed in a sense, but like yeah, the games really do pull you in and bring you into the environment with everything that is going on, and it really like sucks you in. So like when something big like that happens, like you come across a giant like monster that you've never encountered before, even in real life, or like you would even think about, it really just kind of throws you for a loop and being like, oh wow, like this is something different. And it's just, it brought me in more to the game for sure, because like, you know, you're coming across like, you know, like giant cockroaches in the beginning, mole rats, ghouls, and it's like, it's just like kind of stuff you kind of already see before, but then like a giant mutated lizard, and it will not stop until you're dead.
Right, right. I also think that the games do a good job of building it up in the story. By the time you run into a death call, you've probably heard somebody talk about them in a way
I had heard about it, but like again, back when I first started, like I was just kind of like a very big like FPS like gamer, and like never really had like an RPG experience. I wasn't really looking into the lore. I wasn't like listening to everything. I was just kind of like button mashing all through all the like tech stuff unless I really needed to listen. But then it's just like, oh, there's a lot more to this game that I probably should be listening about.
Right.
So yeah, it was a scary moment, but also like an awakening for the game, for me and the series and in general.
Yeah. All right, let's open this up. Who else has thoughts about Deathclaws or that moment in particular? Pumpkin?
I remember my first experience. It was me wandering into Old Olney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you're wandering and you're like, oh, cool, a city. There's got to be some cool loot here. No. Some scary lizards.
Scary lizards. Yep. Scary lizards.
And like there's like three of them all at once, and you're like,
yeah. One is scary enough in certain situations, but then like multiple, or like if you go north at the beginning of New Vegas, it's like, oh, I made a bad choice. Jordinary guy, what are you thinking?
So my first encounter with the Deathclaw, I started playing Fallout with New Vegas. And like many naive first time players of New Vegas, I decided to go directly north from Good Springs, right past Quarry Junction. And I remember seeing the Deathclaw off in the distance and thinking, okay, that looks scary. I'll stay away from that. And then just watching my sneak meter go from hidden to spotted
to
warning.
Yeah.
And then just
real quick,
dead.
Yep. Yeah, I think a lot of us went through that. And I think it was kind of genius in their way of like, if you look at the map, you're like, well, the shorter way to New Vegas is just north. So I'll just go north. Like, why can't I just go north?
Yeah, I think in terms of scare factor, New Vegas absolutely nailed the Deathclaws. Because in Fallout 3, I felt like so about level 10, 15, you could take on a Deathclaw. New Vegas, I was still sneaking around at level 30, just picking them off from a distance because I did not want to get anywhere near them.
Yeah, they were much more dangerous feeling in that game for sure. Saint Jib, you have Deathclaw story too?
Actually, it was Tom. It was something that you had mentioned. You talked about like how older games kind of had that sense of, I guess, like going into a place underleveled. Talk about. Don't want to deviate too much from Fallout, but more or less on that was something I remember playing like Morrowind when I was like 11. And I remember like probably because, you know, the way the leveling was different back then and this was a lot of games like this where you went to some area you were not supposed to go to first.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember specifically going into a ruin. It was like a Daedric ruin where I saved while I was inside, which was dumb of me. And then I was basically trapped in there, not only in a place where I was too low of a level to be at, but also with things that they were monsters, like they're very different from the way they're presented in, you know, current Bethesda games where there was a level of like body horror and everything else to the way they were kind of displayed.
Yeah.
So I think that I was just trapped. I felt trapped in there. I'm like, oh, I have to restart now.
Right. Yeah. And the animation was jankier and they were made out of like 30 polygons and the textures were really blurry. And they're like you add all of that up together and there's something that's just way more creepy about that.
Like I recently just played the first Silent Hill again, and again it had that same kind of effect on it, where you're seeing like these low resolution textures that are, you know, just poor quality, but that adds something to it, where the fact I can less out of it, like, that scares me even more.
Yeah, I think it has to do with obscuring the thing you're looking at. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel like I should be seeing this more clearly, but I can't see it very clearly. Just like if you're in a dark, you know, hallway or something, and you're like, see something out of your corner of your eye, you don't really see it well, and that's part of what makes it scary. Had you actually seen it, you would have been like, oh, that's what that is. But that it's like an obscuring of your perception in that low resolution textures and the way that works. Yeah. Yeah. I think that is a piece of Fallout 3 and New Vegas. It's just kind of the quality around the way the Deathclaws were even designed back then. Like, you pull up the images online and the Deathclaws in Fallout 76 look real high res and they look real detailed and they look like these big monsters, but it kind of loses that weirdness quality. Yeah, for sure. All right, Lil Green, anything else you want to say about this one?
Nah, I kind of said my piece on this, but that Deathclaws, they were scary when you first meet them.
Yeah, for sure. Solid point. All right, Wasteland Ronin, you're up next. What do you want to share?
All right, well, I'm kind of a rookie when it comes to New Vegas and 3, so I got to go to the one that I know the most, which is 4. And playing 4, every time I was playing, I noticed these little teddy bears lying everywhere. And to me, it was odd because a nuke went off and there's just teddy bears everywhere. And I was like, all right. So I had to look it up for this episode. And there's a few fan theories. I don't know that it's been actually like set in stone yet, but they're saying that possibly the teddy bears are for the Institute, as in cameras in the teddy bears to watch the grounds around you. And that would explain why they're not destroyed like everything else. Is the Institute went up there and put them out all throughout the city so they could monitor the areas. Thing is, it'd be creepy because they could monitor you and be like, all right, grab that person. We're taking them. We're making them into a synth.
Oh, that's weird. I hadn't heard that theory before. I guess it makes sense that they aren't destroyed by everything else in this idea that they were placed afterwards. Are there any examples of teddy bears with like cameras in them that you can find?
Not that I have found. It's just a fan theory at this point, I guess. But
okay.
It is, I mean, it wouldn't be too far-fetched, I don't think, with, you know, the Institute making, like, robot gorillas and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. Void, you have some thoughts on this?
So, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
If the Institute is the one that placed them, how is it that in... Now, it's a fan theory that Fallout 76 is a simulation that we're all in. That's pretty widely known that that's a fan theory. Now, how do you explain all of the teddy bears in West Virginia being placed all over there if it was the Institute?
In that aspect, if Fallout 76 is like a simulation, I imagine they'd put teddy bears in the simulation work the same way, as in like a way to monitor things
or to
within the simulation
or to represent the work. Like if it's a simulation and it's a simulation that's active 200 years after the bombs drop, not actually in the timeline of Fallout 76, then maybe they're replicating things that they see about the world around them, which would include a lot of teddy bears in the simulation. That would be another way to justify that. But here's my thing on teddy bears. It's scary because it reminds us how many children suffered in the bombing of the wasteland and what became the wasteland. It's just like having the baby carriages. And sure, so there's some baby carriages with like explosives in them, and they're set up as like traps. But like blocks, like all the things that point to childhood stuff, like reminds you of something you don't want to have to think about, and that's the suffering of children. And I think that's the intention. That's why that's in the games. And it's one thing to see that, like I did see a picture earlier on Reddit, on one of the Fallout subreddits. I think it was earlier today, where somebody took a picture of three skeletons in a room, and one of them was a child skeleton in like a stroller. And they're like, how many of these exist in these games? And I can't think of too many actual child skeletons, but things like teddy bears are definitely you know, a way to remember that that was part of the trauma, which is terrifying when you think about it.
Yeah, I think also it makes it like, when you look at a teddy bear, you think of like, it's supposed to be like pure and it's just a kid's like toy type thing. But if it's like tied to something where someone's like watching you through it, that makes it really creepy.
Yeah, or you think of movies like Poltergeist, you know, like these classic horror films that have to do with the suffering of children, or you know, like children having to deal with ghosts or horrible things. It kind of reminds you of that. And then, and to your point, like this juxtaposition of, like, the harmless and the with the scary, you know, like that kind of thing. So yeah, I think that does totally make sense.
Yeah, so this was a lot simpler and just a fan theory, but if it was true, that'd be make the game even creepier seeing all these teddy bears. You wouldn't look at them the same.
Yeah, that's an interesting theory. I wonder how much actual proof there is for it, or if it was just kind of a creative idea somebody had.
I have something that I need. So teddy bears, I don't see as being like cameras. Mannequins, though.
You think the mannequins are cameras?
Oh, I guarantee, because there is a theater you can find in four that is has a stage covered in mannequins, and one of them is a synth.
Yeah, okay, so like like synths posing as mannequins?
Yes, I can fully believe that.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Especially the older models that kind of look, you know, kind of like mannequins anyway. Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts, Wasteland?
No, that was it. That was just a fan theory I liked.
Cool. Jordinary Guy has a thought.
I think just based on the conversation that we've just had now, I've got quite a few teddy bears placed around my camp in Fallout 76, which I'm now going to be taking down.
Okay. All right. Anybody who's listening to this episode, if you are adjusting the way you play the games based on these conversations, let us know. That's very interesting. All right. Well, we got to take a quick break. Oh, wait. We got Saint with a thought. Saint, one last thought before we take a quick break.
Yeah, I don't want to take up too much. Wasn't it confirmed? Aren't the birds throughout the game, aren't they supposed to be synth, like assets of the Institute?
Yeah, I mean, there was still something about that.
Yeah, like I thought that was actually, Pumpkin's like raising hand. Yeah, I mean, there's still that aspect of voyeurism, so it's not much hard to think that, you know, they're also using inanimate objects to do that as well.
So for context, in the art book, it talks about how there's synthetic birds, and if you go to the Institute, you can actually find screens with locations that have, like, looking down, where, like, it would be a bird's eye view.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's
birds.
And that's a reference to the real world conspiracy theory that birds don't actually exist, that they're all synthetic and monitoring all of us, which is a ridiculous idea, but
no kind of fun. Pigeons.
Yeah. All right. We gotta take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We've got still some more spooky stuff to talk about, but we have to go thank our patrons. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift. Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, real quick, welcome to our newest patrons, Keith S. and Slappy92. That's a really great name. Thank you for joining us and supporting us on Patreon or this show on Patreon. Patreon.com/followlorecast for all the different stuff you can get. Ad-free episodes and joining us on patron chats and t-shirts and stickers, all sorts of fun things. Also, I have to shout out Atle Morton for being our sentry bot. Thank you for your support as well. And to all 104 of our current supporters, we really do appreciate it. I keep saying we, it's the royal we. I really appreciate your support, so thank you for being here. Also, we got this new review that came in last week on Apple Podcasts. If you leave a 5-star review, we'll read it out on a future episode of the show. This one's from Nuka Quantum in Great Britain, who writes, "Get me some Addictol. Beware, this show is extremely addictive. I recommend having Addictol on hand whilst listening. This podcast is absolutely amazing. It's packed with interesting info about the lore of Fallout. The host is lovable." Oh, thanks so much. Perfect for listening to when commuting or working. Recently started listening, so much to catch up on, but you've got yourself another loyal listener, my dude." Well, thank you, my other dude, my also dude, I guess. I really do appreciate that. And if you want to support the show in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Spotify or whatever other platform you happen to be listening to this on. You can share it with your friends, and you know, you can sign up on Patreon. You can come join us for one of these chats in the future. It's a lot of fun. We'd love to have you join us. All right, we've got to move on with more conversation about spooky stuff. Here we go.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, we're down to the last few people here. We've got like Void and Nova and Dusty. Who would like to go next? Anybody? I'm seeing Dusty's hand. Dusty popped up to the top of the screen real quick. Dusty, what do you want to talk about that's spooky?
Well, I don't know if it's spooky, but it would be strange. Mine was the Cabot House quest and Lorenzo Cabot.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really strange quest line.
Yes.
Just with him being 400 years old, having been an archaeologist and found this crown out like in an ancient city out in the desert.
Yeah, it's kind of it kind of touches on and what Pumpkin was talking about with this whole like ancient gods, yeah, like the mysteries of like what is this sack of thing and how does it actually work and does it have to do with ancient gods or aliens, like all that stuff, right?
Yeah, you don't know if it's alien technology or what, but I mean, you know, it gave him what, like psychic telekinesis powers, psychic power, and the longevity and all that.
Right. Yeah, I did an episode on this a little while back, and it's definitely one of those weirder things that you find in Fallout. It also reminds me of some of those like classic, I don't know, it's not really B-movie stuff, but the kinds of stuff you would have seen on like TV in like, I don't know, the 50s or 60s, like this kind of old...
Kind of like the Twilight
Zone. It's like that kind of thing, right? Like there was an archaeologist back in the day who discovered this thing and like his life was changed forever, but nobody knows this story, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah And just the fact that him wearing this crown drove him crazy. Well, we thought he was crazy, maybe he wasn't crazy.
I mean, imagine any of us live for 400 years.
Yeah, it gave him all that information, maybe he wasn't crazy, I don't know.
Right. Like, okay, so I like to keep up with all sorts of different scientific inquiries and information out there. And consciousness is a big debatable topic right now, especially with AI technology and all of that. One of the things that they talk about with human cognition, consciousness, IQ, intelligence, all of those things, is that human beings, although we are all very similar, our actual experience of the worlds for people who have distinctly different setups in the way their brains work, whether you're neurodiverse or you have a distinctly high or lower IQ or anything like that, all of that stuff leads to our individual experiences being very distinctly different from other people in almost like we perceive the world in a completely different way. Now, put that into this situation where you live for 400 years and you have all of this info dump into your brain.
Yeah.
How would you even expect somebody like that to see the world like a regular person at all?
Yeah.
Like
we would think they were crazy, but they, right. You know, they have all this information.
Right. And they would think we're crazy because they know so much more than we do.
They would think we're insignificant and stupid.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Or maybe they have so much information that they don't think we're insignificant and stupid. They just, they look at us like children. Like we still have value. Like, again, it's that whole thing about like, just because you're smart or you have more information doesn't mean you're morally bankrupt. In this case, he's a little bit more morally compromised though.
You know, he might have thought we didn't deserve to know the information he obtained through that crown too, you know.
Right Yeah,
we weren't responsible enough.
Yeah, there's a power aspect to that as well. That, yeah, like he has that power, why would he want anyone else to have that
perspective? I know, right?
Oh yeah.
And just the fact that I think it was his kids and his wife could draw from him and live too.
Yeah,
that was a very strange part too with it too.
Right So if you were in the situation and your father was like had the crown, would you want to take it from him,
the crown, or the do what they did, like draw from, like,
well, yeah, there's that, but I'm assuming, like, let's just move past that part, like you've extended your life as well, you've been sticking around for a while, a few hundred years have gone by, you're getting kind of tired of him. would you take it,
time to inherit it?
Yeah. do you think you would do that?
I think I might would just to see what knowledge there is that be discovered, you know?
Yeah.
I think it would be interesting.
Yeah. It again goes to that whole like ancient, like elder gods thing of like that, this knowledge may not be for me, but I'm tempted to know why. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. When it comes to knowledge, you know, you always want to know more, you know? You like the human race is always striving for knowledge, you know.
Yeah, it's like,
so I think it'd be a temptation, yeah, to get it.
yeah it's like when you're 12 and your parents are like, no, you're not allowed to play that Fallout game. Mm-hmm. And you're like, why? Now I need to find out.
the forbidden fruit.
Yeah. All right. Let's open this up. Who else remembers this quest line? Let's talk about it. Pumpkin's excited.
I could fully believe that whatever his crown is made of and the Krivbekne could be from the same thing.
Possibly.
Because the first owner of the Krivbekne, the Constance Blackhall, is said to have lived an unnaturally long life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Before her book was taken, and that's how she ended up dying. Is her book disappeared, and then she died.
Like, maybe the book and the crown are made out of something very similar that have a very similar
either
effect.
Very
to human
similar,
beings.
Or the whatever is infused with it.
Yeah,
it could be the same.
Yeah,
maybe the crown was made out of something with the book.
Yeah,
could be.
You know, this also makes me think about ghoulification, and there are a few different things in the Fallout series that allow people to live longer than they would expect. You'd expect humans to live, and how that actually works out. It's interesting though that plays out in a few different ways. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts about this one? Want to chime in?
I have one.
Yeah, go for it.
I feel like having so much knowledge. I think you said like 400 years or something that he was alive. I feel like he'd have like an extremist viewpoint of like, my opinion's right, everyone else is wrong, no matter what.
Yeah, I would imagine with that much knowledge about, and it's not just the fact that he lived so long, like the crown itself was feeding information to him. And I guess that brings up the question of how do you know if that information is correct or not, right? Like, it could all just be false. But you would never be able to really know, right?
It could be like corrupt information.
Yeah.
Or evil.
Manipulative. You know? It's just like the crown of gaslighting. That needs to be a special item you can find in a future game. The crown of gaslighting. And when you put it on, it just like completely changes everything that you perceive in the world in a way that's just like different and somehow wrong.
Give you a +10 to your intellect.
Right. Quick side note of that, Skyrim had something like that. I have all my gear set very specific, and it's a ring that says it alternates your gear. I put it on, and it removes all your clothes.
nice. Yeah.
I'm like, nope, not wearing that ever again.
Yeah. Maybe this item gives you like 10 intelligence, but it completely removes all of your perception. Like, yeah. Just like switches it. All right. Anyone else on this one? Cabot stuff? Void?
I just want to say thank you so much for the new D&D magical item.
Yeah, there you go. Man, I love coming up with magical items for things like Dungeons & Dragons. I need to do more of that again.
I do got to say his tabletop model is glorious looking.
Okay. Void's tabletop model?
He's like... trying to think of the character's name. The guy wearing the crown, he has a tabletop model, and he looks fabulous.
Lorenzo.
You've got a tabletop model, and it looks amazing.
Oh, cool.
When you paint it, can you send it into the Fallout Lorecast chat?
Of course.
Yeah, thank share you. It, for sure. That's awesome. All right, Dusty, any other thoughts on this one?
No, I think that about covered it.
All right. Now, we're down to Void and Nova. Void, you ready? Oh, I saw Void's finger first. Nova, you can finalize this for us. Void, what were you thinking?
So, I was told it's an ARG. I don't know what that stands for. I just watched a video on YouTube.
I think Pumpkin's about to tell us.
Pumpkin's
ready to tell us.
It stands for alternate reality game. It's like a story that somebody comes up with that's based on a different thing, and they make a story with it.
Okay. So with that, there is a video on YouTube. If you would like to, it's about an hour. It's about an hour long. It's by Sagan Hawks. Called Something's Hiding Outside This Game. It starts out with a YouTube channel by the name of Dr. Bosch, who gets outside the map borders of Fallout New Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And he goes around the fence at the Mojave Outpost on the south end with the two statues shaking hands. I can't remember what they are particularly.
It's NCR and Brotherhood, right?
Yeah. And so he ventures out into the wasteland beyond the map. Eventually, he comes across a burnt out campfire where he picks up what is said to be a quote unfinished quest. It's basically, it looks like random gibberish when it pops up on the screen. Now, this quest has a marker. Guy follows it, finds a bunch of different stuff along the way, such as what seem to be smoke signals, and eventually he runs into a radio signal of by the name of UVB68, which is a nod to the real life radio UVB76, which puts out roughly once a second just short bursts of static, and every once in a while you can hear Russian chatter.
Yeah, I remember hearing about this, the real world thing, about that weird radio station. Yeah.
Eventually, he gets to the quest marker and goes into a cave. Ventures through this cave, finds a bunch of weird stuff, ventures through, and it keeps going down. It never goes back to the surface. Eventually, he goes to the end, and it just says either enter or exit. I can't remember which one. And what it seems to be in the video anyway, is it seems to be the dev levels, the developer levels. Uh-huh. It's just blank slates to test out what seemed to be movement and combat, which on its own is creepy because all it's filled with is doors along the wall. You go through these doors, they just throw you into the same level over and over, almost like it's non-Euclidean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, through this, eventually he gets out of these rooms and he winds up finding a area where there are paintings just strewn about. They're not anything in particular, but they look to be drawn in blood.
Nice. Okay.
And which is a nod to an artist. I don't remember his name off the top of my head because I didn't get to finish the video. But
Vlad the Impaler.
I don't think so. I think it was either way. The painter drew paintings as he went insane on his walls, and they weren't of anything in particular. As it carries on, he eventually finds a briefcase that gives him experience, and it starts ticking like a landmine.
Okay.
Nothing happens. He's just carrying this thing, and you can't get it into your inventory. Mm-hmm. It's just a physics object.
Huh.
So he's just kind of carrying this thing around,
right,
as with the physics object, and it's just ticking like it's about to blow up. He gets XP for that, like he disarmed a landmine.
Huh.
Now, a lot of this points to just unfinished levels in Fallout New Vegas, and eventually he finishes this quest. Doesn't know how, doesn't know why.
It just like just
finishes it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Randomly. Eventually, fast forwarding probably 3/4 of the way through the video, or the breakdown of it anyway, he gets out of these caves somehow and is in this like destroyed city. Like it's weird. Like there's steel girders pointing every which direction.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not really a rhyme or rhythm to it, but it's still on the surface and there's still ground. Now, listening closely to the audio of the video, you can hear something running. And there's warning in the top center of his screen, like something's chasing him. There's nothing around him.
There's nothing there.
Nothing that we as the viewers see.
Right, right.
Now, looking at it more thoroughly, because these are separate videos, because eventually his save, he says, got corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
But looking through the different videos, through all the cuts, you watch his ammunition and his gun just continuously decrease. And so, I mean, you would think that something has gone down. But the funny thing about this thing that's chasing him, New Vegas has a very set speed. And everybody who's played New Vegas for a good long while can attest to that. This is running faster than anything in New Vegas. And to people who have played it for a while, that is extremely unnerving. Now, eventually, the video series ends. You have no clue what happens to the survivor. You have no clue what happens to Dr. Bosch. All you know is his save got corrupted.
And then that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Again, the video is Something's Hiding Outside This Game by Sagan Hawks.
Right. Now, the mundane explanation for all this is that this is just developer stuff they put outside the game as they were testing ideas for zones like a broken down city area or a monster that functions different than the other monsters. But maybe they took the model out. And so there's still like the concept of the monster there, but nothing visually to see, or, you know, like there's a lot of explanations for why this stuff might work the way it did once you move past the edges of the game. And this is something that Bethesda games have. Like, you can go out of bounds in Bethesda games and find the locations where they keep characters before they teleport the characters into a zone when you load into a certain building or things like that. There are definitely weird things like that. So out of the context of it being a regular zone, it creates this that feeling of like, this is super weird. Why would this be here? This doesn't function the way it does. And I could even imagine the idea of something like, you know, this is supposed to be a quest line. Somebody was playing with this idea of carrying an item or triggering a quest line that works a certain way. And then for some reason, there's something built into the quest line where it just completes it after a certain period of time, or if you go past a certain range of the zone, and none of that stuff actually got implemented into the rest of the game, because we definitely know there's a lot of stuff they were planning to do in New Vegas that they never actually got to finish and put in the game for sure. So that would be the mundane explanation for all of that. There could be there's another explanation, is that this stuff was modded in a way to make a weird experience and to create a interesting video that somebody made. Those would be my two guesses, but yeah, definitely weird for sure. Pumpkin.
So, it could easily be the first one and just filmed in the way to make it basically a creepypasta.
Yeah. You tell the story in a way that makes it a creepypasta. Yeah. It becomes a creepypasta.
I haven't seen the videos, but they've popped up on my suggestions there. It is basically just an ARG alternate reality game. It's a story that somebody came up with. It's a cool, don't get me wrong, cool story. Not part of the game.
Yeah. But fun.
What I think.
But fun to talk about. It's like, cool. Yeah, wrong. Void cool. Did a great fun job to talk about. Explaining it to us. And,
I would definitely, like, I would say, Tom, this is not the only, like, the creepypasta, Fallout creepypasta. There's the Lone Wolf Radio one, and then there's the Fallout 3 Number Station one. I don't remember that one much, though.
Yeah, these are fun. I like watching these videos on occasion and just be like, oh, what is this weird stuff? This is so cool.
There is definitely a lot that I left out.
Oh, I believe
so.
You. I believe
if,
you.
If you have the time and have the chance, go watch the video. It is very interesting to watch.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will end up looking it up. Yep. This could be a fun, we could have a whole creepypasta episode.
We could.
Or just watch it. Yeah, that could be, like, we have more opportunity to turn these kinds of patron chats into things that we haven't done before. So, like, to take a video like that and watch it and then just react to it together could be, like, an entire patron chat if we wanted to do something like that. So, we can get creative. Anybody else want to chime in about weird creepypasta stuff before we move on? Any other thoughts?
That kind of, first of all, the Ranger statue is between the Rangers and the Desert Rangers, not the Brotherhood. It sounds almost like they pulled assets from the Pit, if I'm being honest. That's kind of the image I was getting when you were talking about the city, and then also the creature that goes faster than you can actually move. I'm kind of thinking of like maybe a giant Trog or something like that. And I would be surprised if maybe they were, if maybe that was supposed to be an asset that was supposed to be for, what was the Lonesome Road, like after you launch the nukes and like you go back into the world and one of the settlements was destroyed, something like that. They just have something far off in the distance, but they cut it just for reasons. I don't know, that's kind of what I was imagining, but I'll have to definitely watch that video though. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it could be those things. It could have been assets they loaded into the game on like an out of the bounds area in order to kind of mess with them and then just left them there because they just didn't finish what they were doing. Yeah. Very true. Well, Nova. Who else? Somebody else want to chime in? I heard another voice.
I had one more thing to add.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know if this is important at all, but at some point he went through the title screen. It does not have the big spire tower, the one that kind of looks like the Space Needle. Yeah, and it has the intro for Black Isle Studios.
That's weird. This feels like something that you could just mod in, you know?
Right.
That's what that feels like. But yeah, I don't know. Weird stuff. Thanks, Void. Thanks for bringing it up. Something totally, completely different from everybody else. All right, Nova, you're finishing this up for us. And thanks for updating me on the two statues. It's been a while since I looked at them.
Yes, you're welcome. I love correcting people.
Well, actually,
exactly. Yeah. We know.
Easy now.
Well, speaking of Lonesome Road, mine was actually my creepiest experience I've had in Fallout, and probably one of my favorite weird, scary places is going to be the Divide, just as a whole. That entire section where Lonesome Road takes place. It was a toss-up between Big MT and the Divide for me, but definitely as I think more about it, the Divide just becomes more and more of a, well, just a real horror fest, if you think about it, honestly. It was a semi-functional prosperous society, or there was multiple semi-functional prosperous societies, and then you accidentally nuke them. And then in the process of doing that, you shift tectonic plates that then causes massive earthquakes to scatter across the entire region that unearths what can really only be described as a possibly globe-ending species that are the, what was the tunnelers, that can destroy a death claw in about 2 seconds. If you remember that part of Lonesome Road where you're underground and a death claw just gets eaten in front of you. not just that, but also the fact that the radiation has basically turned everyone who survived into ghouls, and then the dust storms caused by said nuclear bombs going off have flayed the skin off of them. And so you're not only going to be walking through an active Fallout zone, title reference, you're also going to be having to take cover from what is possibly one of the worst sandstorms or storms you could ever imagine, that is whipping sand through the air, quite literally sandblasting you. So if those who don't know, sandblasting is like taking a cheese grater and rubbing across your skin. It's awful. And then on top of that, you're having to deal with survivors of what was an active war zone. So the Legion NCR, who have teamed up together to kill you. And then you're also having to fight the tunnelers, and then about a billion death claws as well. Not to mention walking through the freshly shattered remains of society. So it's like the Great War just happened as well. It is an absolute just shit show. Crapshoot you're going through, and experiencing that when I was the ripe age of 13 or 14, that was quite terrifying, if I'm being honest, because I don't know, just like, well, the rest of
because
Fallout,
of all, you know, the things that you mentioned,
yeah, like, because all the things, right. I mentioned, and yeah. Also, you know, seeing a death claw, which, you know, trying to go through Quarry Junction as one of my first times playing Fallout and getting killed a billion times, like, oh, that's me, the scariest creature in the game, and all of a sudden I just watch it basically get shredded in front of me by one tunneler, and that just kind of made me not want to play that DLC anymore, so I reverted to a previous save and didn't finish that for about another year and a half.
Yeah, it's like they decided to take everything and just kind of turn it up to 11. They're like, okay, what if we just made everything worse?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just the worst that the Wasteland has to offer. Mm-hmm. Just all combined and condensed into this small little area. And all you have for comfort is an Eddie clone. Who, not to mention the fact that you, like, at the end of it, you have to launch more nukes, or you have the option of launching more nukes, completely changing the outcome of the game and spreading the atomic core further onto the world using, you know, what ended the world in the first place. So right. It's just a bad series of circumstances that are stacked on top of each other all the way down. So it's like the old Hindu idea of it's turtles all the way down. No, this time it's nukes all the way down.
It's nukes all the way down. The world is built on nukes all the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, you did a good job explaining how horrifying all of that is. Anybody else want to chime in on this one?
So I actually like the tunnelers. Tunnelers are, in my opinion, are probably one of the scariest enemies in the Fallout series, in my opinion. As he said, it's world ending. I also just like, I want to know, what are they really? Like, what caused that?
I mean, they're kind of cute.
That's one thing that's, it's talked about how they've been around for whatever, and that's because you ask Ulysses, and he's got a quote where he talks about how they've been around for hundreds of years, and yeah. Your character, and you just have no clue what these are.
Right.
I have an idea for it.
I would love to know.
I have an idea for it. The devolved society of the lizard people.
Oh, that's what it's what happens when lizard people mutate due to FEV and radiation.
I mean, that's actually where the U.S. government all went, was into the divide, and then they just, you know, they had a vault from Fallout or from a Vault Tech, and it just did not work out well.
Right, right.
It always reminded, like, those creatures, they always reminded me, like, of specifically Alien 2, when it's like the more than one alien.
Mm-hmm. And Gollum. They're kind of Gollum-ish also.
Yeah.
They're like Alien plus Gollum. Nasty Wasteland dwellers.
It's just a horror. Like, it's not really a horror. It's just a creature that is beyond deadly and just has no real basis that you can really judge it in the Fallout game itself. Because you think, oh, okay, yeah, this has to be the deadliest creature, and then just it just eviscerates it in less than a second, and just shatters your perception of the of the skill level or right.
the power creep.
Danger
There's
level.
Power creep. It's, yeah, it's power like creep. It's like yeah. when the Hulk tried to fight Thanos, and Thanos was like not having it, and you're exactly, like, yeah. oh crap! All right, that's what we're dealing with now. Saint, you had some thoughts. Go for it.
Just kind of adding to even more like the kind of like the different things I guess that probably would scare people, that the old DLC from the beginning of when you enter to like where it takes you, you have to experience like you have to go to incredibly high places. So I know people who are, you know, just walking on these highway spans where you're just up in the air and you could easily fall to your death, to going underground with people who might be claustrophobic, to something just as easily as when you're walking out of the underground section, you see the entire like I guess the literal divide in the ground that you're in, you see this vast expanse of area, just thinking how it makes you, it made me feel so small the first time that I had done it, and like feeling very insignificant of like, just again, another like horrifying aspect to it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good description. Cause it is distinctly different from what's in the base New Vegas.
Yes.
Like you don't have anything like that in that part mm-hmm. of the game. Yeah.
Just in overall atmosphere, like it's like, oh, you thought you saw the scariest part of it. There's a little something for everybody there, you know, just to, you know, upset you.
Right. Yeah. It's like they turned it up to 11. They're like, all right, what else could we do to really push everybody's buttons? All right. How about all these things? Yeah.
How about a jerkified ghoul who has no skin running at you with a spear?
Yeah. Yeah, that'll do it. All right.
I don't know. It's just such a weird concept. Because like I said, you will literally cause tectonic plates to fall apart in a matter of seconds because you set off 100 nukes underground inside the silos and spread the remaining warheads across the entire area, which you have to blow up in order to go everywhere, causing just more radiation to spill into the atmosphere, destroying the wildlife and any semblance of civilization that is downwind of you.
You said downwind.
Yes, I did. Yes. Don't break it.
Well, and there's a wonderful image of how terrifying all of that is. Thank you, Nova. All right.
There was a lot of passion in that.
There's a lot of passion. All right. Well, thank you for joining me, everybody. We got to wrap this up. These are all very scary things. I think you're going to change the way some people engage with these games. And why don't we go back through and feel free to share, just throw something out in the world. Hey, I'm doing this thing. Everybody should find out about it. Here you go. Otherwise, thank you for joining this week or this month. Let's just go through on my screen as everybody set up. We'll start with Void. Void, anything you want to share? Anything going on? You want to throw out into the world?
You can find me on the Discord, for one, the Robots Radio Discord. My DMs are always open if you need to vent. Just at me if you have something fun to say. Especially if it's funny. If it's funny, you'll probably make my day because the people at work are freaking stupid.
Send Void your funniest memes.
If you send me your funniest memes, I will probably laugh because I have nothing better to do with my day.
There you go. There you go. Make Void's day.
I've got a podcast that I'm going to try to run. I'm hoping the latest it starts is January. And that will be a D&D podcast. So that's kind of why I was so excited about the magical item.
Nice.
So, all right.
All right. Sounds good, man. We'll keep us up to date with that as it gets closer to you launching.
I will.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. Pumpkin, anything you want to share?
Nothing currently. I'm always in the Discord. You can also find me on my Twitter at the Pumpkin King. The E is a 3 and the I's are 1s. I will be posting something hopefully in the next month or two. I finally am going to get my butt on the cosplay stuff. So.
Cool.
Very exciting character. So
cool. Yeah, I can't wait to look at your butt on the cosplay stuff. It's weird. Wait, yeah, why does that sound weird when I say it? That's I don't know.
But yeah, you can find me on the Discord. I'm always here to talk.
I'll probably be in there right after this. So
yeah, yeah. And anybody in the stream chat, if you want to jump on Discord, there's always like this after party where a bunch of these crazy people all get together and hang out while I wrap things up and go to bed. But yeah, feel free to do that. Thanks, Pumpkin. Wasteland Ronin, anything you want to share?
Yeah, so I'm still working on building a PC to start some podcasts and maybe some video editing and whatnot. But yeah, that's about it. You can find me on the Discord and getting back into 76. So
nice. Yeah, Spooky Scorched.
Hop on there.
Spooky. We'll... Talk about spooky stuff. You get Spooky Scorched. There's trick or treating.
We can get jumped by Death Claws.
That's
so
true. That's true. Very true. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Keep us posted with your stuff as well. Nova, I know you got stuff.
Yeah, I'm obviously on the Discord, and you can talk to me whenever you want. I have a YouTube channel. I haven't posted on there. Well, an actual video in about a year, but I occasionally post shorts. I will get back to that eventually. This life's been hectic right now. That is capital S-U-P-E-R, capital N, zero, capital V, capital A. Look for the Golden Retriever icon. It is mostly about Fallout, but occasionally Halo and Call of Duty stuff as well.
And underwater basket weaving.
I haven't gotten to that yet, but when I get back to the lake, I will.
That would be an amazing mix of stuff. Like, very broad.
You see me underwater basket, all of a sudden there's a bass comes by and just steals the basket.
Oh, crap. That would be entertaining, though. All right. Well, yeah, go check out Supernova on YouTube. Thanks, Nova. St. Giub, anything you want to share?
I just want to bring up, tell everybody what you had talked about last week in the podcast about the Axis Unseen. I went out and got it right after you had talked about it last one. Game is amazing. It's probably the most fun I've actually had playing a new game. And the fact that, again, it was only developed by one person, and especially right now because it's Halloween, it does have a very haunting kind of atmosphere.
Yeah,
highly recommend, guys. It's still, the introductory sale is still going on. Go get it now. It's well worth it.
Yeah, Nate will be very excited to hear you say that. Yeah, it's gotten some positive reviews, and I know other people are playing it. And it definitely, if you're looking for the Halloween vibe, like, it is saturated with, like, I don't know, vibe. Like, there's definitely a mood that goes on in the game.
Atmosphere to the lighting, yeah. To, you know, various cryptid. I don't want to give everything away, but, you know, everything. It honestly, it's 10 out of 10.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. And thanks for joining us. Jordinary Guy, anything you want to share?
I just want to say thank you very much for having me on for my first Patreon chat. Don't have much going on, really. Myself and my wife are attending a Comic-Con next week where we'll be cosplaying as a
Pumpkin
Princess
butt.
Meets Fallout duo. So I'll be going as an NCR Ranger. She's going as a Belle from Beauty and the Beast meets Fallout character, so that's wow. Going to be an interesting one. But no, if anybody fancies playing a bit of Fallout 76, feel free to add me. It's on PC, same tag, Jordinary Guy.
Nice. It made me think, if you really wanted to turn it into a like a duo thing, you could have like Fallout Belle with the Beast, but the Beast would be like, I don't know, super mutant or something.
That is a good idea. Mm-hmm. What I've currently done is I've just taken the NCR helmet and written Beast on it. That's the extent okay. I've gone to.
Right. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for joining us, and I hope you guys have a blast. That sounds fun.
Thank you.
Very cool. All right. And then Dusty, wrapping it up. Dusty, anything you want to share?
Well, I ain't got too much going on. Just normal work stuff during the day. But yeah, I'm on Discord from time to time. You know, I'm on idle, but, you know, you can leave a message. And you can find me playing Fallout 76 on PC if you want to hit me up there. It'll be under the name I got posted here.
Yeah, Dusty Ray 85.
That's it.
There you go. Well, thank you for joining me again. And everybody, thank you for supporting the show. This has been a fun, creepy month. I always love talking about creepy stuff in October. And I'll be back next week with another regular episode. And if you want to hang out, jump on the Discord. I have a feeling these guys will be hanging out, chatting, having kind of an after party thing. So we'll see you next time. Thanks for being here. And until next time, well, stay safe in the wasteland, because it's got a bunch of scary things that will either destroy your mind or rob you of your autonomy or, I don't know, blow up the world. There's all sorts of crazy things going on, but, you know, we get by. All right. See you next time, everybody. plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift. Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us. And it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.